Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 130 of Two Legs, a Paul McCartney podcast. I'm Tom Hunyadi. You may know me from my other show, Talk More Talk. And I am joined by my buddy, my backwards traveler, Andy Nichols. And he's a part of another show called
Anything but the Beatles.
There you go. Andy, what's going on, my friend?
Living the dream. Hanging in there, brother. Thank you. How are you?
Yeah. I'm doing pretty good, thanks, man. Had a nice rest and get a little recharge this morning, so ready to go, ready to record another show. And we got a an interesting one tonight. We'll get to that in a second. But other than that, Andy, you know, a few things have been dropping, coming out recently, and you know, we'll start with a Ram On. Apparently, you know, I got it earlier this week, and I'm starting to see other people starting to get it in the mail. You're still waiting on your copy, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But it's cool to finally have this in my hands.
That came from Cherry Red, right?
This is
funny.
From Cherry Red.
I ordered something from Cherry Red, and the same time I ordered Ramon, I ordered a copy of John Anderson's Animation, which is
okay.
Cherry Red also did this. I ordered them both at the same time.
Wow.
And this one came first. Which
is that a reissue?
It's actually a funny story with this. They never actually ever able to, it was never actually ever issued on CD ever.
Okay.
Because they couldn't
really
find the master tapes. No.
Oh, wow.
There was like one pressing of it done 20 years ago on a vinyl, but it sounded bad, but they found the tapes and Cherry Red finally put it out on CD.
Oh, that's great.
So it's really fantastic. I just thought, okay, I saw Cherry Red. I'm like, here comes Ramon. It's not Ramon. There's actually John Anderson's Animation CD, but they're Cherry Red's awesome. But Timmy Sean told us that there were issues. So
yeah, there was a few issues. And then, you know, he also told us that there could be a vinyl release for this as well. So, you know, everybody that's a fan of the show, you know, we interviewed Denny Sywell and Fernando Perdomo about this. So be on the lookout for this. If you haven't heard it, give it a shot, because, Andy and I were really impressed by that. So another thing that came out too was the Mock Show, the Beatles and Hindenburg book from the guys from A's for Apple, the AppCore label. And unfortunately, you're still waiting for your copy.
Yeah.
On that.
Great, so, great, great book though. Tom showed us. Awesome.
Yeah. So once Andy gets that, we'll start going through the book, and then we'll get Thorsten, the author, on the show on there, and we'll see if some of the stories that we've heard in the past are actually true, or are they legend, you know. So we should we'll find out, because it's supposed to be the premier book on the Beatles in Hamburg. So again, the first pressing is, or the first printing is sold out. So they're on the second printing already. So check that out. So go to appcore.com if you're ever interested in learning about the Beatles in Hamburg more in detail than what we know from the Beatles anthology, you know, and stuff like that. So so check that out. But other than that, you know, I've got the Ram On, Half Speedmaster.
Half Speed, which is tremendous. Yeah.
Got that. You had a chance to listen to that. I'll listen to that tomorrow, hopefully, which we're recording on the 23rd. So hopefully I'll get that tomorrow. But we got some good news too. Got some really good news. I mean, after a year and a half, or I'm probably a year of waiting.
Yeah.
Finally to get back film in theaters, release. It's going to be released on August 27th. Now we don't know if it's also going to be released on Disney Plus at the same time, but as of right now, it's just the release date is August 27th. So as soon as I
in theaters, right?
In theaters. So as soon as I'm sure we'll all get an email, or there'll be a website where you can go and you can find what theaters they're going to be played in. As soon as I see that list, I will be buying my tickets and going And as we've said in the past, Michael Lindsay Hogg has agreed to come on the show, man, and talk about, I'm sure this version and his film as well. So be on the lookout.
That'll
for
be
that.
A tremendous score.
So I can't wait. Yeah, I cannot great. Wait. Yeah. Also in the news, the McCartney Rick Rubin docuseries has been, a release date has been announced for that, and it's going to be called McCartney 321, and it will premiere on July 16th on Hulu. Now, the six-episode series will find Macca talking over the entirety of his career with Rick Rubin, and you saw during that trailer, you saw him playing around with the board, and so let me ask you this: what do you think of the chances that we're going to hear the Yesterday Story?
Greater than 90%.
I really hope not. I mean, that's such a well played.
He's like a story. Robot. He's a robot at this point. I mean, that trailer that we saw whatever it was, 6 months ago, 8 months ago, really looked promising. It looked like it was going to be like a little more in-depth look at some of the songs and how they were made.
Well, you would hope so.
And into his solo career, you would think. So, I mean, God knows we don't need to hear that again. We really don't.
Right.
I mean, so, Christ, my three-year-old nephew can recite the Yesterday Story.
So we don't know if all six episodes are going to drop at the same time.
Yeah, are they going to do it like a traditional
weekly show?
I would think, since it's going to be a Hulu-only release, they're going to just drop it and it's going to be out. But then there are some shows on Amazon and Netflix and stuff that
they're still weekly, traditional weekly
will be weekly drops, which I mean, either way, it's a good thing.
Right. Yeah, I also get I kind of get nervous about these kind of things because it's gonna be so Beatle heavy that the last 50 years of his solo career is and Wings career is just gonna get like 25% of
because we're at the point the bulk now. Of it. We're at the point now. Okay, there's 10 years of a Beatle career. Okay?
Right.
There's been 50 of his own.
Right. Right.
And these things that are coming out are like, it's the weight is like, it's still not proportioned.
No, it's not. Not at all. Not at all.
It really isn't.
And that's why, when we get that lyrics book, later this year as well.
That's another bet we have.
How much of that is going to be Beatles? How much of that is going to be solo?
Although
stuff?
You're much more optimistic than I am with that. Yeah. You think it'll be more. And I
do.
I don't see it.
Okay. All right. Well, on today's show, we're going to do this, a fun little thing, which was on the Ultimate Classic Rock Facebook page. If you're if you're on Facebook, I'm sure they've got probably over a million followers on that Facebook page. And I believe it was May 2nd, they did this thing called Last Great, Last Good, First Bad. And it was about Paul McCartney's solo career. So I thought,
good article.
Yeah, it was a good read. Interesting. So I thought, we add our two cents to it. And we'll start with Last Great, which is what they started with. And, I want to ask you, what makes a great album? What makes a great McCartney album, you think, Andy?
I think everything from obviously, number one, most importantly, the music.
Right.
Okay. The mood of the album, maybe, and the overall package of it, like as a concept, is that artwork or design, or or is it just for some people the music? I like to think artwork kind of sets the mood for an album sometimes, So depending on what album it is, or the feel of it, or the theme, I think those things kind of add up to making a great album. Obviously, it's always about the music first and foremost. I mean, you can have a crappy cover, but the music could still be great. But I think generally in those terms,
I think a little of the same lines. However, artwork doesn't necessarily.
It helps.
It helps. I mean, the imagery, it does help, but it's not the deal breaker. In my opinion, I think he's had some crappy album covers, but the albums themselves have been, really good. Memory Almost Full,
The Chair, which Ethan Alexander did such a good job of.
Oh yes, thank you, Ethan. Yes.
Yeah, again, it does. Yeah, it could be crappy artwork, but the music's good too.
Is if an album is great, is it a masterpiece?
If the album is great, is it a masterpiece? I would like to generally lean yes.
Okay, yeah.
Because you've got great, like great and good, right? So album could just be good.
Right.
You know, you're gonna put things in great. That's like special, that's like rarefied air, right?
So So it's great in the same category as masterpiece then.
I would say yes, you.
I don't know if there's if there's like good, there's great, and then there's masterpiece. Well,
listen, as Paul once said, right? There are seven levels, right?
Seven levels, right?
And once upon a time, if those of you that know that story.
Oh, yeah. Poor Mel. Oh, man, the stuff he had to have gone through.
Oh, my God. God bless him. Right. I ran around Mal's back and said, there are seven levels. Yeah.
Right. Anyways, so, all right. So, you know, I'm fine with putting like great around the masterpiece type thing. I do think if you're going to consider something a masterpiece, I think, you know, like you had mentioned, like the cover, the whole scope of the album, you know, the packaging, I think that all goes in with that as well. You know, mm-hmm. You think of stuff like, you know, maybe, you know, The Wall or Dark Side of the Moon. I mean, all that stuff is just
because it lends itself to the whole thing.
It all blends itself.
It's a total package, right?
Total package, yeah. So, I mean, so maybe if, you know, masterpiece isn't the perfect word for this right now, but we're just going to say last great. So, Andy, we'll start with you on this one. I'll start off the next one. But for you, what is the last great McCartney record?
All right, let me just pull it off the shelf here and pull a Tom Hunt Yachty. I'm going to slide it across the screen here. Yoing.
Mm. Yeah.
Yoing. Chaos and Creation in the backyard.
And hopefully this will, and we don't, I don't know what he's going to pick. He doesn't know what I'm going to pick.
We don't know.
Hopefully we don't, our picks won't all be the same. Yeah,
we won't try to bore you people to tears.
Yeah, exactly.
Chaos and Creation in the Backyard, I think, is the last great Paul McCartney album. Mm. In that Flaming Pie, Band on the Run, Tug of War, Ram,
right,
mold. I would put those albums up with this one that I just mentioned. I would do that.
Okay.
And I think that we ranked this a few weeks ago. It's a darker album. Some wonderful songs on here, different songs, different styles, writing to Vanity Fair. Okay. Some great ballads, some great acoustic work in here. So if for me, it's just a classic, you know, start to finish McCartney album. And it's on that level for me.
Mm. Cool. Well, I would have liked to have said Memory Almost Full, but there's a few things. You know, I think that the album has a few issues with it, but I do agree with you that Chaos and Creation is his last great record. And for all the things that you said, but also for the fact that he was challenged. You know, Nigel, you know, pretty much,
right,
you know, was like, listen, that sucks. That's not your good. That's not your best work. You know, so he made him work, made him put forth an effort. Lyrically, this is a phenomenally, from top to bottom, this is a phenomenal record. Musically, I think from top to bottom, it's a near perfect record. And, you know, every song, from top to bottom, that's what I really consider a great album, is whether or not that I like to love, you know, every song on the album.
And you can't, you can't do that with Memory Almost Full.
No. And I like to love every song
on
Chaos and, to, you know, Chaos and Creation in the Backyard. So, you know, package is cool. I mean, the picture is cool. I think it might have worked on a different album, but I mean, I don't know if it's, you know, the best album or the best cover for this particular album for what's in it.
Yeah, maybe not. You
know? But yeah, I mean, every song is a winner. I mean, there's literally six songs on here that I love to death, you know, that I would not want to ever, you know, not be able to listen to, you know. This Never Happened Before, you know, Fine Line, How Kind of You, Jenny Wren, Friends That Go, Too Much Rain, you know, Riding the Vanity Fair, I think is his best song of this, you know, this since 2000.
Right, you know, which you had ranked pretty high, I believe. In that
right, right. Yeah, so, you know, and then, you know, Promise to You Girl, you know, I like a lot, which, you know, is, you know, again, a good, you know, starts off one way and then just goes into a completely different direction, you know. So yeah, I mean, every song on here I like to love, and
that,
you know,
was also chosen by one of the people in the article as right. well as the
yeah
last
yeah one. I think a couple of them maybe all of them end up choosing Chaos and Creation on that one, and I think that was the only one that everybody agreed on, if I remember correctly. If not,
you'll notice, really, it was the last time he was really in that Paul voice too. Before it, because By Memory Almost Full, it's really
full. You can start, yeah. I mean, consistently. I mean, you could tell bits and pieces, I think, on Driving Rain, but then come, you know, Memory Almost Full, I think you can really start telling the effects of age in his voice.
I think you can. And but Chaos is the last right. time you really hear it before it really starts to change.
Right. Yeah, I mean, because even like the falsetto in his voice for Jenny Wren is really strong. You know what I mean? The softness of, you know, How Kind of You is uh-huh. good. You know, Fine Line is like piano rocking kind of voice. I mean, is really strong.
Yep.
You know, so, and even like the ballads, you know, This Never Happened Before, you know, just really strong, you know, yeah. vocals on that, you know.
Yeah, so I probably a lot of people out there probably feel Chaos is up there as well.
Right.
I mean it is, but if we're doing this kind of, we're playing this game of, you know, and I get it, everybody wants to just throw heap, you know, praise on all the recent stuff. But again, Chaos is now 15 years old.
Can you believe that?
Which is scary. but I think we have it as the last great for you and I, for both, you know, for both the same reasons.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. All right, so moving on, let's go to Last
you
go. Good.
You go,
yeah.
You go with Let's Last Good.
Now, Last Good, I mean, a good record to me is, you know, you like most of the album, you know what I mean? Or you enjoy most of the album, and, you know, lyrically, musically, production-wise, I mean, it works for you. And I'm going to tell you right off the bat, you know, McCartney 3 is a good album. I even think it's better than good, but because of the fact of how the wording is, you know what I mean? This is a really good record, and I'm still enjoying it to this day. I still think every song is still, you know, good.
Let me ask you a question.
Go ahead. Yeah.
If the album was not called McCartney 3, would you like it as much?
Yeah, because, you know, it's like we talked about, it comes down to the songs.
Okay.
You know, titles don't mean anything, really. It's the songs that matter.
Yeah, always.
Yeah. So therefore, for me, you know, McCartney 3 is a really good record. And, you know, The Long Tail Winter Bird is really good. I love Find My Way, you know, Pretty Boys, Women and Wives, Leverage You Lil. All good songs. I mean, even the songs that, you know, some people may have problems with, you know, with the deep, deep feeling, there's stuff in there to enjoy.
There is.
You know what I mean? I mean, it's just not a throwaway track, you know?
No.
I mean, you might not like bits and pieces of it, but there might be bits and pieces in there that you do enjoy. So therefore, I think that makes it a good track, you know? So, but yeah, I mean, then we get that, you know, when winter comes, that we probably, you know, which was a big shocker, you know,
right.
to have it on this album. And I think that helped elevate the album, you know, to really good status as well. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but however, you know, I still firmly believe that this is going to be, I mean, if he keeps releasing albums, I think this will, and if you were to do this 10 years from now, and he's still releasing albums, this could be considered his last great album.
If he's still releasing albums 10 years from now, I mean, come on.
You never know, man.
No, you never know. I would not put it past him.
I would not put it past him either. But I truly believe McCartney 3 is a good record, and it is his last.
It's in that good ranking for you.
Yeah, absolutely, okay. Absolutely. All
right. Last good McCartney record for me. Right. Okay, right before that one, Egypt Station.
And I'm with you, but see, you got the That's the what? That's not the Travelers. That's the
Explorers.
Explorers, right?
Explorers Edition, three.
Right, but you're talking about the regular main album.
One. Yeah, the regular Egypt Station, not all these bonus tracks.
Right.
Yeah, that one for me, since the McCartney 3 fever pitch kind of went away, everybody kind of threw all the praise on that and forgot about this little gem that came out in 2018. And
right.
I still like it. I like it better than McCartney 3. I do.
That's fine.
Again, this has the kind of concept appeal to it with the opening station and the closing station. So you've got that rough, loose concept album feel with this. Some tracks are clearly better than others, like Despite Repeated Warnings, which I don't really like, which you'll see, which actually you'll have already seen that because we're ranking it. We'll have already ranked it.
Right.
But you know, I Don't Know, I think is one of the best songs he's written over the last 20 years. You know, we can actually do that too. Like the top, you know, the best songs out of the last 20 years. That's something we should.
We can do that. Absolutely.
We should do that. You know, so stuff like, Happy With You. I know Tom does not like People Want Peace, but, Who Cares For You, Confidant, Dominoes. These are all
Dominoes
great.
Is fantastic. Absolutely.
Dominoes is a fantastic song. Even the jauntiness of Come On To Me, which I wasn't really thrilled about, but I can still look back at it now and say, okay, that's a good little rocker. Do It Now, I think is great. So I love everything about Egypt Station. And you know, it's again, I to go back further, you know, to go last good. Well, I mean, obviously I like Chaos better. So, but this clearly marks that I wouldn't, you know, at the time, would I have put this on Chaos rank? I don't think I don't think I said, oh, this is as good as Chaos when it came out. So
right.
For me, it's good. So it checks that box as being good. I don't think I would have gone back further. I mean, New could have fit that bill. Memory Almost Full could have hit that, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know.
But we've been really spoiled with all of these records being, you know, good to great.
Correct. Now that's how you and I feel too. Super right. McCartney freaks. I mean, people watching this or not into it are going to say that album sucked. You know, I think
there's the people out there that'll say his last great album was probably Be Flaming Pie.
And I know plenty of people that think his last good album was like Tug of War.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, or a Wings album. So there's plenty, there are plenty of people in this world, sadly, that won't even acknowledge anything he's done past 1980, which is just ridiculous. Which is ridiculous.
It's a damn shame. Yeah.
Which is just ridiculous. So, of course, if you're watching this, I think anybody would have thought that Tom and I wouldn't have had to go back too far to pick an album that would have been the last good one, you know?
Right.
So I'm not too surprised by your pick. You're probably not surprised by mine.
Right. Yeah. And that's the thing, you know, I truly love Egypt Station as well. It's just that, you know, like two tracks, you know, People Want Peace and Despite Repeated Warnings, I've just never warmed to. So therefore, you know, for me, it just, you know, just lowers as good as those other songs are.
Right. Right.
You know what I mean? Those two songs kind of, you know,
they drag it down a little bit.
They just drag it down a little bit. Absolutely. Yeah.
But you know, you want to call us predictable. Maybe we are, but you know, I wonder what your first worst one was or bad.
Yeah. Bad. Well, see, let's just talk about, you know, the word bad there for a second. I mean, what's bad about a McCartney record to you?
What's bad about a I guess if it was rushed and it didn't contain enough of those McCartney type style tracks, whether those were ballads or rockers or, you know, or the production maybe wasn't great. You know, and there's not too many of those that are like that. I mean,
no,
you know, how do you come up? I mean, you know, we can rank all the albums, you know, in order of like,
right.
But, there's aspects of all the albums that we like, even though we might say whatever your choice is, whatever my choice is, you know, there are going to be aspects on these albums that we enjoy, but as a collective whole, it's going to be say, if you're going to look at it and say, well, what's the first really bad one, you know? And it's kind of, I think it's probably going to, I mean, you know, again, if you're going first bad, so you're going to say everything up until that point was good, and then it was his first bad. So, like, how do you do it?
And it's all subjective. Obviously, I mean, everybody's opinions is going to be different for the most part. You know, a lot of when, you know, reading that list, a lot of people, a couple of the people picked Wildlife as his first, you know, bad album. And, you know, and maybe if we were doing this back then, you know, and, you know, if we were going through real time, you know, you and I, let's say we were 15 or whatever in 1970, and we started collecting McCartney records, maybe, you know, we could feel the same way.
Time has been kinder to Wildlife.
Correct.
That's the problem.
Very true. And that is the problem, because, you know, we know how bashed it got, you know, when it was first released.
So having said all that, that is my worst. Wow. That is my first bad
record. Wow.
Yeah. It's the first bad one. And I'm trying to look at it objectively, not as a fan. If I'm looking at it objectively, and it has to be the first bad album. Okay. The highs of McCartney, first solo record, Maybe I'm Amazed, fantastic record. Okay, doubles it up with Ram. Super creative record, professional, more of a band concept, really, really great record, full of hooks, all-time classic as we now know. After those two records, he comes out with his band and 8 half-baked songs for a brand new album. Low-key release after, so I don't know how you don't say Wildlife. I mean, other people, listen, you could say whatever, but I mean, just looking at it objectively, I think you have to go Wildlife for the first one. Now, listen, we both love Wildlife. I mean, there's great songs on it, but trying to look at it, I mean, if I don't say Wildlife, I mean, we're going to go up to what, Venus and Mars? I mean, no, maybe I could see Speed of Sound, maybe, because it was much more of a band effort and wasn't so Paul dominated. I mean, what, McCartney 2, I'm sure some people might say. Not you or I.
No.
So, but for Wildlife, for me, it was made in a week, It was recorded in 1 week, very quickly. Kind of just, let's just throw it together and put it out. And listen, there's some great hooks on this. There's some great songs on here. But looking at it objectively, it's mumbo, jam, throwaway, bebop, jam. Love is Strange, again, cover. Wildlife, great song. Some People Never Know, great song. I Am Your Singer, Linda.
Right.
Tomorrow, classic. Dear Friend. So that's it. I mean, it's a very quick album. Mm-hmm. Some of the songs run kind of long. Dear Friend and Some People Never Know are longer songs. So, listen, I love the record. But if I'm looking at it objectively, it is the first bad one for me.
I can understand that approach, you know, and I took a different approach to that. So I took the approach to where, we are in the time we are in now, you know, whether or not that album got bashed when it first got released doesn't matter to me. None of that stuff matters to me. It matters to me right now how I feel about that album. And there's more songs on that album that I love than my first album that I think is truly bad. And the album that I think was truly bad in his career was Pipes of Peace. There's just less songs on it that I think are quality. And as we all know, half of the songs were recorded during Tug of War, and they weren't included in Tug of War because
of that reason.
They were just not that good of songs. Now, is there good songs on this album? Absolutely. It starts off strong with Pipes of Peace. It ends strong with Through Our Love. But then in between those two songs, you know, you've got
Hey Hey, you know, and Tug
you got
of
Hey
Peace.
Hey, Tug of Peace. What is that? You know, you got Dustpan Lid, you know, which
I'll defend that line until
but
my
exactly,
death.
I don't mind, but you know, people out there will destroy that lyric, you know. You got stuff like you know, The Man, which I think is okay, but I don't think it's as good as, you know, say.
Oh, you know, of course not.
Sweetest Little Show, Average Person are just average songs. You know what I mean?
For you.
Yeah, for me. You know, So Bad I Think is great.
Wow, I know you love that one.
Yeah, say. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, it was a number one, you know, U.S. number one. You know, Price of Peace was a U.K. number one. Say was a U.K. number two. I mean, so he almost had two number ones in the U.K. with that song. But that, you know, that's really it. So I find, you know, a bad album as the least amount of songs on an album that I just don't care for. And that's how I rank these albums. So, if and when we ever do an album rankings, which we will, we'll get to, you know, this might fall at the bottom for, I don't know. You know what I mean? So I think Pipes of Peace is his first bad album because there's, you know, more bad songs on it. I mean, yes, you got George Martin, but I mean, George Martin can't save these mediocre songs. You know, that's why weren't on Tug of War. So saying that, I mean, for me, Tug of War. I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry.
Pipes of Peace.
You know, I always got to say something screwy every episode. I mean, that's how I look at it. It just depends, you know, how many songs on it do I dislike compared to how, you know, how many songs I like. And I truly like more songs on Wildlife, even though there's less songs.
Than Pipes of Peace,
yes.
Did you have any others you were floating around there thinking about going with, or no? Was it always going to be Pipes of Peace?
Well, you know, you did mention Speed of Sound, but I didn't want to include that because you had so many other songs from the others. You know, I want to try to keep it to a true McCartney record. You know what I mean?
Right. Not so much of other people.
Other people on there, because that's easy. I mean, that's an easy...
Oh, okay. There's only five Paul songs, so that's exactly the one. Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You could easily say Speed of Sound is the worst McCartney record because you have the least amount of McCartney vocals on there.
Yeah.
You know, so, but I love McCartney too. You know, if we would, but again, if we did this 20 years ago, McCartney 2 probably would have been what I would have considered the first bad.
The first bad one.
You know? So obviously
it would have been interesting, changes. You know, 20 years ago, if we had done this before, you know, the last 20 years of his career have been so prolific.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So if we were to assess Paul McCartney's career, say up until 2000, and then have this conversation, how does it change?
Well, it changes because, you know, our last great will probably be the same, you know, Flaming Pie.
Right.
You know, his last good then would have
been Flowers.
Absolutely. And First Bad would probably
still been Pipes of Peace, and still would have been More Wildlife for me. Yeah. So it's interesting. I always like to look at that kind of post 2000 as a line of demarcation for him, really, after Linda. It's just how, for me, it's just how I objectively view his career in two phases, with Linda and without Linda.
And, you know, and the people that are younger than us out there too, you know, I mean, I would like to know how their thought process on that.
Because they're younger. Well. So they probably
exactly.
Just, they don't, they just know the music.
Right. Right. And they don't, you know, care whether or not these albums got banned or bashed when they first came out. You know what I mean?
No, because they either don't know, or they're just listening to the music because then they're experiencing the music, you know, the natural way. And they're making their own judgments on it, which is, you know, that's good to hear.
Right.
You know, people like Hudson and all of our other friends out there.
So, I mean, let's just keep this going a little bit. Well, I mean, what would be, I mean, so since Wildlife is his first bad record for you, what would be the second one then?
If we're not going to count Speed of Sound based on your rule, it's too easy. I guess after that, I would just say probably Broad Street or Press to Play.
Mm. Yeah. I mean,
probably Broad Street or Press to Play. Maybe not counting Broad Street since it was a compilation / soundtrack. If we're just talking straight up album, I'd say Press to Play.
I would, I mean, that's,
I cannot put in any other, I cannot put any of the Wings albums in there other than Wildlife. I can't put McCartney,
War.
I personally can't put Pice of Peace because I love that record. Even I even love, Hey, Hey.
Right. I mean, I could probably see myself putting, Off the Ground as then his second, bad record.
Over Press to Play.
Over Press to Play, yeah.
Okay.
Because there's some Press songs on Press to Play that I truly love. Good Times Coming for Prince, Press, So, but then, production or whatever.
So you'd go Off the Ground. Which I'm not surprised. I actually was kind of thinking that might have been the one that you chose initially. We'll skip the 70s, skip the 80s, go right to the
90s. Go right back. But then again, I didn't want to be predictable either.
No, I did not think you were going to pick Pipes of Peace.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, the more when we ranked it, I think that's when I really came to mind, listening to all those songs again and just being very underwhelmed, not really enjoying them maybe as I may have enjoyed them, 20 years ago,
Right.
So, you think of a song like Hey Hey and the three people on that song.
And that's what they made.
And that's what they made.
I know. But it has its fans.
Yeah. I mean, I love that part, the middle section of it, when it kind of like slows down, it gets a little more jazzy, I think.
Yeah, jazzy, but it sounds like a game show.
Right.
Stanley Clark.
But, Gadd and Clark and McCartney.
Yeah, I mean, can't stand it. Yeah, but the middle bit is good. I'm telling you, it sounds like a game show,
Yes, love it.
That part is good. Oh man.
But I mean, there's different ways, I guess.
There's different ways you can look at it, kudos for UCR for coming up with that kind of topic of and of course they pick Paul, right? They pick Paul to do that.
Let me ask you one more. Is Band on the Run the first masterpiece?
Yes.
Over Ram.
No. Okay. Ram first.
I mean, I think there was even one person that picked the first album as the first bad. Because in a way, let's say maybe Amaze is not on McCartney.
Okay.
It's not, I think that album is considered a classic.
If that song's not on there, forget about it.
Right. Yeah.
We're running off into the jungle with Karina Crore for another 8 minutes.
But I would have probably said that would have been the first bad record because you got half songs on there. You got like unfinished songs.
You got fragments.
Yeah, exactly.
Things and a couple of nice
ad libs that aren't really that good.
Okay, you got a couple of good ones like with Junk and Every Night.
Yeah,
those are the only two songs. Everything else is kind of just thrown
Teddy
together.
Boy a little bit too. A
little bit. Man, We Was Lonely, but definitely maybe I'm amazed is why that record is remembered for what it is.
Right.
But that could have been if that wasn't on there, of course. Again, it's all perspective and timing is everything. I get John Landau said 1971 of his review of Ram that it was the nadir of popular music.
Right.
I know he's retracted that statement, but especially now here we are 50 years later.
Right.
Got people doing Ram tributes. I mean, there were people paying tribute to Ram. Even before this Ram On thing, there was one called Pure McCartney going back about 10 years ago where a band did the whole thing of Ram again. So it's nice to see now that, here we are 50 years later and it's getting its due.
I mean,
it's due, but I mean, we're almost 10 years on now from when it got the archive treatment in 2012, which is really when it went.
Yeah.
Crazy? When that was 2012, that was that one came out.
9 years ago already since that.
That seems like yesterday, pun included. But yeah, I guess so. It's, you know, here we are now again, and that, and you know, it's all deservedly so.
Yeah, and then I think it was for Tug of War. I think it was the Rolling Stone review labeled it as the album we all knew he could make.
Which one?
Tug of War.
I think we all knew he could make. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, as John always used to say, Paul make a good album when he's scared into it.
But I could argue that that's Ram as well. I mean,
it's
Band on the Run. You know, I mean, the production value alone on Ram is classic. You know, I feel, you know, I mean, just sounds like, you know, a great McCartney record.
It's a great McCartney record. And
it's a great records in general, really.
Right. And again, I know we when we do these things, we try to take the fan aspect out of it. Let's look at it objectively. Like Band on the Run, we know is a great record. We might be tired of it, and it might be, you know, the oversaturation of the songs and stuff. But if try to look at it objectively, it's still an all-time classic.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, we don't play it. We don't play it a whole lot, of course. But you know, it is. It's a classic.
I'm fatigued of it, and I just bought my fifth copy of it.
Right. Exactly. Only five, huh?
Only five, yeah. So I got to, you know, catch up to you. You know. Anyways, but let us out there, everybody watching or listening, let us know what you think is the last great, the last good, and first bad McCartney record. If you're watching us on YouTube right now, you know, please leave it in the comments. If you're listening on any of the audio podcast sites, email us at twolegspodcast@gmail.com and let us know your thoughts on this topic. And this was good fun.
I had a little fun exercise on when we're recording on a Sunday, which is normally
easy episode. We're lazing on a Sunday afternoon right now. Just figured we'd knock one out of the park here and have some fun.
Keep the episodes churning, brother. Just keep them going.
Yeah. So won't be a problem, my friend. Won't be a problem.
Not at all.
So but anyways, Andy, what's going on in your world? I mean, anything new with the Anything But the Beatles show?
Glad you asked. Yeah, I'm going to be recording with Ethan Alexanian one day this week, which as of this airing, well, hopefully we have already recorded it. We're going to be recording episode number 2 because we're doing it once a month. We did the Who album in April, May. We're gonna get this one knocked out. And I will spill the beans and tell everybody what album we're doing. We'll be going to be discussing ELO's 1981 album Time.
Ah, okay.
Which is kind of like towards the end of their career, really kind of post Out of the Blue, post Discovery, post John Lennon assassination as well, because there's a very thinly veiled tribute song on that record to him called 21st Century Man.
Okay.
Which a lot of people in the ELO world think is kind of a tribute to John, and I don't know if it is or it's not, but it really sounds like it. So Ethan and I are going to chew the fat on that record, and it's an interesting record. It's like a space-time thing going on,
right
and the single off the album, of course, was Hold On Tight, which is the big hit off of that record. But there's some
Hold On Tight to Your Dreams, right.
Yeah. But there's some really great songs on that record that he and I are looking forward to talking about, and that's going to be our second episode of Anything But the Beatles.
Very cool. Look into that. I mean, obviously, I mean, once you get into the 80s with the ELO, they kind of start falling off the map a little bit.
You had Time in 81, and then another great follow-up actually called Secret Messages, which came out in 83, which was supposed to be double, and that album is just as good as 2. After that, they were pretty much done. They did an album in 86 called Balance of Power. But it was just a contractual thing. It was not good. By that point, Jeff Lynne was already making contact with George and doing getting ready to transition into producing.
Be the producer at the moment, you know.
Right. Petty, Orbison, yes, everybody. So,
right. McCartney,
ELO has been one of my favorite bands, and Ethan likes early ELO. I like later ELO, so he wasn't familiar with this record, and I've been a fan of it for a long time, so it'll be a nice little chat.
Cool. Excellent. We'll look forward to that. So hopefully that'll be out soon before the end of the month, obviously, since you're doing one once a month.
Yep.
Great. Yeah. So, you know, Talk More Talk will be, you know, by the time this airs, our episode, our latest episode will be up as well. And we'll be talking to Fernando Perdomo about the Ramon CD. So be on the lookout for that. I've done a slew of guest appearances recently.
Yeah, you've been all over the place, man. Tell everybody where you've been.
Well, you know, we took a little bit of break. You know, I did a Ringo Rama episode where we talked about the songs on the Ringo album. I did the Ken Michaels radio show where we talked about, it was like this number nine dream. My three favorite Ringo compositions, my three favorite Ringo drumming moments, and what was the other one? I'm drawing a blank at the moment, but I'll think about it. Drumming moments, compositions, shit. Anyways, albums, top three. Top three Ringo albums. Right. So did that. Did another guest spot on a show called Collecting the Beatles. If you go to Facebook, you type in the Garage Door, D'OR, you'll find it there. And I also posted it on our Facebook page. So we had a good time just talking about collecting in general. You know, McCartney collecting. So that was a good time. And I'm sure I'm missing one right now, but you know,
book him, Dano. He's been all over the place.
Yeah.
Like the guest starring on everything. No, that's right. Great. That's all.
Yeah. Cool. You know, it was a lot of fun. You know, I mean, obviously, you know, I don't have a ton of time to do all these things, but every once in a while, you know, I can, you know, put my two cents into somebody else's show if they want, you know. So and it was fun, you know, hanging out with other people and getting their, you know, their thoughts and views on all of these things as well. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Busy dude.
So, Yeah. So by the time this airs, we like Andy said, we will have ranked Egypt Station. The following week, we're going to be going back and ranking all of the tracks, the bonus tracks, the non-album tracks, the hidden tracks. You know what I'm saying? We're going to rank those. And then,
at some point
we will be, we're going to cap it off and we're going to rank McCartney 3. And we'll hopefully have some family members with us.
Do we want to tell everybody who might be on there with us?
Oh yeah. Well, yeah, we're going to look to get Dylan Seavey on, the guy who's done our music. We'll get Ethan Alexanian on, who's done our wonderful thumbnails, and my original co-host, David. We're going to, and then of course you and I, and we're going to try to, you know,
and we're thinking maybe, we don't know exactly what it's going to be, but maybe it might be actually on Paul's birthday. We'll see.
Which will be a Friday, I believe.
Yes, June 18th.
Yes,
that's way down the line, but maybe that's where, if schedules can line up, then we can do it that way.
Right,
we'll do it that way. If we can't,
what amazing journey it has been to see everybody's, you know, involvement and their rankings and their comments and you know how much they've enjoyed the rankings, because I mean obviously Andy and I we've enjoyed it. I've really enjoyed going back and, you know, re-listening to the tracks, you know, especially tracks that in the past I haven't really cared for, and then seeing if I still don't care for them. You know? I love those comments when somebody says, I haven't listened to this album in decades and I popped it in, you know what I mean, just for this show. I, you know, that's really cool. So thank you for that. Yeah,
because then you know, we're talking about something and we're giving you, you know, a chance to go listen to something. Hey, you know, thank you for that.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll end it next month. I mean, it's been a crazy journey. So, you know,
December, January, February, March. Yeah. It'll be 8 months of ranking the tracks. Wow. Wow, 8 months of
isn't that crazy? Isn't that
yes.
crazy? So we'll continue. I mean, we'll probably take a break, you know, maybe a week or two break of the live stuff, and then come back because I've got some other thoughts that I want to go through cooking. With Andy. Yeah, other things cooking that Andy and I will put together, and we'll have a good time with that. And so again, you know, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Two Legs Podcast, Facebook page again, Two Legs Podcast, YouTube channel. Please, if you haven't checked it out yet, check out our YouTube channel, Two Legs, a Paul McCartney podcast. Check it out, subscribe if you want to. We're getting close to 600. I think we're like 583,
and we're free at the moment. We're free.
And we're free. That's okay. I know why he does it, but anyway, it's just a running joke. But anyways. Anyways,
nothing for free, right?
Nothing for free. Yeah, exactly. But where was I now? But anyways, yeah. So check out the YouTube channel. Please subscribe. We really appreciate it. All the new listeners, thank you. Hopefully you guys stick around with us for a while because, I mean, the shows that I've got planned, I mean, it's an endless amount. I mean, I've got another 10 years worth of shows. So, Andy, if you got time, you know, stick around. And
we got to do a 2-year anniversary show too later this year.
Oh, that's right. That's coming up too.
In October.
It's coming up to October. That's right. We will definitely do that, my friend. So thank you, Andy. Thank you, everybody out there. I'm Tom. That's Andy. And everybody out there, as always, have a great day and a beautiful night.